Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we are talking about our ongoing series of developing and hopefully meeting supernatural goals, as well as topics that come up from email and feedback and questions that our people in general are dealing with. So for a couple of weeks, we've been posting that we're going to touch on depression, and so we're going to do that in the second half of this show. Some questions have come up, and just it seems like this is a good time to be discussing that. We aren't going to be able to go into a full extensive evaluation of depression. If that's something that's necessary, we may do that down the road. But for right now, we just want to hopefully give some pointers and address some, again, specific situations with some general comments. But first, we want to do a quick review of the homework. And I'm not going to do a thorough review. We've done that past couple times because with the holidays, we kind of got out of track of what we were doing as far as the homework. So hopefully you've had a chance to catch up with where we left off when we headed into the holidays. And we've got the two different tracks going in setting supernatural goals. Again, it's your soul that relates to the supernatural realm, and your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. So we're looking at setting up goals that relate to your mind, your will, and your emotions, and how your soul relates to the supernatural realm. And that occurs from two aspects from our point of view, and those are negative and positive. And we can relate to ourselves and others and God from a soulical perspective based on our wounds and misbeliefs. And unless we change and are healed and are recognize that the traps and the habits we have in those areas, we can allow ourselves to continue to live vulnerable to the attacks of our enemies and continue to live as victims. So one of our main goals in addressing our wounds in our soul is to specifically overcome those wounds and those habits so that we aren't vulnerable to the enemies, to our enemies, and so we can be totally available to God and to our spirit in those areas. So you've hopefully been following along and doing your homework, and you've come to the point where you've got your list and you've gone through the process of what would it look like if these goals were achieved from a negative standpoint, and what would my life be like, what would I be like, reminding ourselves that we cannot change others. It's not your job to change others. You can only be working on yourself. And we've talked about how on Tuesdays we've been spending quite a bit of time on forgiveness. So if you need to get more into that, I encourage you to go there. And just as a quick reminder, forgiveness is not something we do. Forgiveness is something as a character that we have. So it's not about the other person at all. It's about recognizing that because we are in God, we have a new character, a new nature, and we are forgiving people. So we let the other person out of the equation when we determine what choices we need to make going forward, what wounds are in our emotions that need to get healed, and what thoughts we need to change in order to be able to receive and believe the truth that God says about us. So we are looking for ways to join God in what he is doing in bringing us freedom from our past. So we've set those goals. This is, you know, Lord, I want to be free from this anger. And this is what it would look like if nobody else changed. This is what I would look like freed from that anger. And then we set up those goalposts, those signposts. I want to be, you know, always obviously in dependence on God. In cooperation with him. Lord, is this the area that you want to be working with me? Are you ready to be healing me in this area? Or is there some other area? And for some, he has, you know, 10 things to be working on at one time. Others, it's just one or two. Now, I do want to assure you that one of the first things we did was just put a list of everything we want to be free from and have those burdens dealt with. You may have ended up with, you know, 25 pages worth of things you want to be freed from. And the Lord may have said, well, I only want to deal with you about this one thing. I assure you that he is working on all of it. His goal for you is that you be completely free from those wounds, because his goal for you is that you would be complete spirit, soul, and body and fully joined to him. And there is no wounding in him. There is no lies, no half-truths. There is no vulnerability to the enemy. I love our example of what Jesus life was like when he was here on this earth. He certainly went through trials and tribulations and was mocked and accused and had every reason, every opportunity to give up and to behave as a victim and believe he was a victim. Now, he went to trial, and he went through all the things he went through, but he never considered himself a victim, because he, even at the time when he was being crucified and led before his accusers, where he was falsely accused, he was there because he was depending on his Father. He was sent. He was never at the mercy of his accusers. He was there out of his own cooperation and dependence on his Father. So there, in his life, there was no middleman. He never considered that his Father sent him and threw him into the hands of his enemies. He knew who he was. He knew his relationship to his Father. And he knew the purpose that he was there for. And to get to that purpose, he had to go through the challenges that he went through. Now, a lot of times, again, we think that the reason God sent his Son was to die on the cross, to pay for our sins. And that's one of our challenges, one of our beliefs that we really need to get over. It is unfortunate and distracting that the cross ever became the symbol for Christianity. Okay? In early Christianity, what was the symbol for Christians, for gathering? It was the fish. It was not the cross. In fact, it would be an interesting, and if you have any idea, I'd be happy to hear from you. When Christians started to use the cross as their symbol, because it's not the cross that gives us victory. It's not the cross that gives us life. It's the resurrection. You know, that cross, that fish, represented the fisherman. It represented sustenance and life, independence. The cross is not the symbol of Christianity. Jesus came not to die on the cross, but to be raised from the dead by his Father. And when we think about it, you know, we think that Jesus just decided, okay, I'm going to come and I'm going to do this. And even our whole concept of the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we use our own relationships to determine how God relates within himself. And that's fine. That's where we are right now. But to believe that we can comprehend God's nature with our soulical and darkened mind, we are in the process of learning and being quickened and awakened. But part of the necessary steps to do that is to be willing to give up our beliefs when God says, "This is who I truly am." You know, so our concept of Father and Son and Holy Ghost may not quite encompass the reality. And if we say, "No, God, I know what you say, you believe what you're saying about yourself, but we know better," we need to give that up. The Father sent his Son. The Father trained him and taught him and revealed himself. The Father developed the circumstances that were necessary to prepare Jesus for every step of his life here on this earth. The Father sent him to trial. The Father sent him to the cross. And the Father raised him from the dead and ascended him to be with him. This is Jesus' example of dependence, of that joint depending on the Father for the training and yet having to do the training himself. He learned obedience through the things he suffered or endured. So we learn how to depend on God by our dependence on him, by doing it. It's not something we're going to believe or learn to think about. It's doing it. So through that process, hopefully you've given God the opportunity to bring change into your life and develop those habits. So continue going in that path on the negative supernatural goals. But we, at the same time, we want to recognize that God has exciting things for us. There are things that we have desires for, we've heard about or thought about or wondered about, and unfortunately we've put them off. You know, won't it be great to get to heaven where we can see how God works on this earth and maybe on other planets and in other ways, his unending creativity, how it works. We want to see things from his perspective. And unfortunately, so often we put that off to when we die or for those who are specially blessed. And we've been talking about how, what if the reason you are interested in that area. What if the reason you're curious about time travel or supernatural experiences or angelic visitations, what if the reason those are interesting to you is because God wants you to experience them? What if it's not just natural curiosity, but a desire? God gives us the desires in our heart. There's really only one way to find out, and that's to ask. Lord, is this something from you? Is this desire from you? Is this curiosity from you? Again, we like to use yes or no questions, and we like to test, Lord, is that you? When we get an answer. And then we are developing those steps, those stages. Lord, specifically, this is what is interesting to me. So hopefully in the homework you've been doing on the positive side, you've got a list, and you've narrowed it down. And our last homework regarding the positives, the skills, these are supernatural skills we're talking about. Your soul has its own senses. Just as your physical body has five senses, we say five senses, it's probably more, taste, touch, feeling, smelling, and seeing. Likewise, your soul has its own senses that it relates to the spiritual, the supernatural, and the natural realms. And God is quickening those senses. But even without his quickening, we can do things to quicken those senses. This is where non-believers or non-Christians experience ESP and, communication with the other supernatural beings. It's because we all have those senses. It's, are we aware of them? Are we giving them attention and learning to do things to facilitate and grow them and learn to use them? What we are learning to do is cooperate with God so that we are developing the skills and the senses and having our beliefs changed so that he can make us ready. Just as Jesus, when God sent him here on this earth, there was already a plan and a strategy for every single moment of his life. This is where he was going to be because he needed to learn this, 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 and this in order to accomplish his assigned project here on this earth. Well, God knows exactly what projects and what situations you are going to have to face or going to face. You've been assigned to face. And you've chosen to agree with God to face them here on this earth. So in cooperating with him, we are agreeing that he can and is making us ready to not just survive what he has for us, but to overcome. Think about the great victory that Jesus had over his enemies, those that were accusing, those that thought they had killed him, those that thought they had won. They thought it was over. He knew it wasn't, but he still had to go through it. Now, no one else will ever have to go through what he went through. But there are things that each one of us has to learn by experience how to rule and reign here on this earth, how to live victoriously, how to live as overcomers. And that's what is drawing us. That is what will be, what God is making us ready for. This is the one of the purposes of this whole ministry, is how do we prepare? First, assuming that we can prepare. There are things we can do right now. But those things are not determined by our own intellect, by our beliefs, by our doctrines, by others. It's between us and God. This is, he says, this is what you need to know. I will have you ready. I will have you prepared. But you need to depend on me. And he is dealing with both freeing us from the wounds from the past, but also enticing us. Now, I want you to think back to Adam and Eve when they were in the garden, which the garden just represents this earth. There's no, you know, let's not get too caught up in a specific area, a magic area. But they communed and related to this earth, both in a natural realm, but also a supernatural realm, because they were living as spirit beings. They were in perfect union with each other and with God at all times. They didn't even see their own bodies or each other's bodies, because they saw each other spirit to spirit. Likewise, they didn't even know what their own temperaments were, what their soul was, because they were relating to one another as spirit beings. So what do we do then? As we cooperate with God, we recognize that the draw for our soulical senses and the things that entice us are really about his challenging and drawing to the surface soulical senses that have always been there. That this is what we are returning or restoring, a way of communicating and living that God originally created us to have. So if there was a period of time, for instance, you know, when you're in a car accident or you have a bad injury and you have to stay off your feet, sometimes for weeks on end, your legs atrophy and you forget how to walk. You have to relearn how to walk. It's not that you didn't know how to walk, or that you don't have everything necessary to walk, but you still have to put those walking abilities into practice. So for now, let me just encourage you in the positive areas to really reinforce and be encouraged by what the Lord is already showing you in those areas. Review your homework in that area. And there may be areas that the Lord wants to redirect and re-spark a desire for. And let me just sort of do a blanket statement here. Any of the desires you have regarding, and just putting those examples out there of time travel or having supernatural experiences or angelic visitations, now listen close. Okay, in the spirit realm, as a spirit being, you have a soul and you live in this body. And in your room or your car, wherever you're listening to this right now, all three are going on simultaneously. The natural realm, the supernatural realm, and the spiritual realm. Now, all those three aspects, and I'm just using those as examples, those three aspects of the supernatural realm, time travel, angelic visitations, and supernatural experiences, you are experiencing them right now. Okay? I'm just going to let it sit there at that and let you think about that. Any questions, take it to the Lord. You're free to email me as well, but for right now, just take it to the Lord. They're all happening right now. So I do want to just take a couple minutes and talk about depression for a couple minutes. I know that's quite a subject shift, but I think it is something we need to at least get some thoughts out there. And first, when we talk about depression, we're talking about a wide variety of definitions. And so a lot of times, you know, when you're emotionally drained or emotionally under stress, we can't put our finger on it, or there's reason for it, we just say we're depressed. Then there are other times when there is something either physically or soulically wrong, that there's a wound there or a physical challenge that needs to be addressed. So it's real hard to come up with neat, clean definitions. But I just do want to throw out some ideas about depression, that take these to the Lord, think on them, and let the Lord reveal to you if there's anything that applies to you that you want to take to Him, or if you need to take your issues and your questions to someone else and get help. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Okay, what you don't want to do is do that first. You want to go to God first. So, again, there can be many causes of depression. And if the cause is one thing and we're treating another thing, we can go through the treatment and still be depressed. God does not want you to live. It's not about learning to live with depression. And very often, not always, but very often, medications just mask the symptoms. We want to learn what the cause is and deal with the cause. And it can have many causes. We would start with looking at how are you doing physically? Are you taking care of your physical bodies? Just sometimes not eating right, not getting enough sleep, having too much on your plate. Trying to deal with long-term stress with your own strength. Sometimes that can cause depression. And a lot of times depression comes just from having your cup too full for too long. It wears you out. And God did not. A lot of times depression is one of God's ways of getting your attention. Something's wrong, and it needs to be addressed. And just by trying to gut it out isn't going to help. Sometimes it's avoidance of making a decision or trying to live contrary to your temperament. So a lot of times just looking at how do we handle stress. Now, we want to be careful that we don't get frustrated with ourselves. And I'm going to go a little over time, so just if you need to come back, if this is a subject that's interesting to you, come back and listen to the archived project, because the blog talk blair is going to come on afterwards. So please excuse that for the on-air broadcast. But I'm going to just go maybe 5 minutes or so, maybe not even that long, after the end of the session. So for the rest of you, thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back on air Monday at 7:30. So when dealing with depression, be patient with yourself. God is doing, is working behind the scenes. And so give yourself time. A lot of times we only make things worse when we see depression or just emotional being, feeling overwhelmed or not knowing what to do. When we focus so much on that, we often, that's what wears us down even more. So one of the things that you want to do is start taking stock. Start being aware of when you are feeling depressed, when you are noticing you're depressed, what are you thinking and what are you doing? Okay? If at all possible, name your emotion. Come up with at least 5 words for that emotion, not just depressed. You have to have 4 more words for the emotion you're experiencing. Come up with 5 things you're thinking and 5 behaviors that are going along. For instance, if you're depressed, you might not feel like getting out of bed, okay? Or you're angry all the time. Anything, those are actions. If you're very short-tempered, write all those things down, okay? As you start to delineate things, hopefully just doing that will take some of the pressure off. And what you'll start doing is as the Lord starts to relieve you of those, you'll see change. Recognize that just even from a, whether it's a, from a physical standpoint or if you're, I mean, there are times when we are, through no fault of our own, under stress that we just can't handle. You know, we've got a lot of job situations and or even a loved one in a bad car accident or, you know, battling cancer, whatever. There's nothing we can do and there's nothing we could have done to prevent it. There are times when we are under stress, but we feel like it's the end of the world. Or we feel like we should have done something, or we feel or think or believe. And we want to put those down. We want to get them out on the table because denying them, not letting them come to the surface, is very often what makes that depression worse and extends it. Feeling bad in any way, shape, or form is a normal response to a bad situation. Say you get that phone call that you've dreaded in the middle of the night about a loved one in an accident or someone has just died or, you know, you name it. To feel bad about that is a totally normal reaction. It's one thing Christians aren't that good at funerals. Even of Christians, of other Christians. We think it should be this great and joyous time. But we're not grieving for the loss of our loved one. We're grieving for ourselves. So when we feel bad about a situation, very often that's a perfectly normal reaction to the situation. And it's not, it's only when we start to believe lies about it that as a Christian you shouldn't feel bad. You shouldn't feel defeated. You need to get over that. You know, so many people in really bad financial situations right now and with other things going on may feel like, okay, this is, you know, the end of the world or whatever. Well, rather than fighting it, let it come to the surface. Take it to God. God, is it the end of the world? And so many people are buying into This is God's judgment on us personally and as individuals, or, you know, our world, our nation, our system. Let him answer that for you. I could give you answers, but you need to hear that from him. Now, to get out of that, if you are in a depression, if you're changing your lifestyle to accommodate feeling bad, just going to give you a couple little things to think about. Keep moving. Don't stay there. It's a difficult situation. It's a difficult place. The only way you will be defeated is if you stay there, if you make your home there. Now, if you feel paralyzed or what am I supposed to do, pick something that you can handle easily. Even if it's, you know, it looks like, I'm spending, you know, all my time trying to find a new job, not finding anything. Allocate a couple hours during that time to do something or to be growing in an area that you can do easily and that you enjoy. Something that you're learning. I don't mean wasting time. I don't mean, you know, well, in order, you know, to not be doing what you need to be doing as a citizen of this world, taking care of your responsibilities. I mean, recognize that if you are growing in this area, if you are depending on God and moving in this area, it will keep your momentum from, it will keep up your momentum, and it will keep you from being as vulnerable to your enemies. You will make progress as you cooperate with the Lord, and that will provide you with greater and greater motivation to keep going, to keep waiting on the Lord, and ask him to bring the resources and opportunities to you as you cooperate and depend with him. Because what happens is when we stay still is when we are most vulnerable for an attack from the enemy. And if we aren't aware of it, that's when that captivating depression or anger, or whether it's directed at others or directed at ourselves, or disillusionment comes. Bad feelings come and they go. We're not going... How you feel is not a reality. It may feel like it, but it's not. So let's just look at the example of how Jesus lived his life. How many opportunities did he have to be depressed? And we know there were times when he felt really bad. It's not that he was happy all the time. It's not that nothing but good things happened to him during his life. His best friend died, and he had to raise him from the dead. And look what he went through. And that, you know, all his friends left him when he needed them most. On and on and on. And the torment he must have experienced growing up. But he didn't take it personally. Well, think on these things. This is the start of our little discussion. We'll continue more about depression. We'll probably cover some of this next Saturday and start here and talk a little bit more about depression. But for right now, don't take it personally. Find an area where you can move forward that will sort of provide a distraction from the bad things. Recognize that, yeah, it's tough times. That doesn't mean it's about you. Depend on God. take care of yourself physically. Recognize that if you're not taking care of yourself physically, you're vulnerable physically. So we'll get into it a little bit more next Saturday. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of the weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.